We read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The end of the Gospel of Matthew, 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. On Saturday, our friend Isaiah is going to be pinned. No, that's not wrestling. That's the traditional ceremony welcoming new graduates of nursing school into the profession. I wish I could be there because it brings back memories of my mother conducting that ceremony for the nursing program she ran in California. I've seen a photo of her standing proudly with her first class, all beaming in their new starch caps. So you're probably not going to get a cap, Isaiah, and wearing their pins. Isaiah, though, will have a moment like that, being initiated into the great profession of nursing. Since the very beginning of the church, baptism has been initiation into Christian faith, whether it happens as a believer or as an infant. The sign of baptism shows that a person is entering into something new, into a different state of being, and, as I said to the kids, into the company and fellowship of all those who follow and walk with Jesus. This morning on Trinity Sunday, I've read those last few verses of Matthew because it's one of the places in the Bible, like also that benediction we heard from 2 Corinthians 13, where we hear the Holy Trinity named clearly and explicitly, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that naming of the three persons of God is not just a formula for religious ritual. It points us toward what actually happens when a person receives baptism and commits his or her life to living the way Jesus taught us to live. Verse 16 tells us that 11 disciples went to Galilee and met Jesus on a mountaintop. There had been 12 of them, but Judas betrayed Jesus and then committed suicide. So there were just 11 men gathered around Jesus to receive some of his final instructions. What Jesus had to say there made a huge difference because within 10 or 20 years, thousands of Christians spread all over the Middle East and even into Europe. For someone who wants a reason for thinking Christianity is true, that's not a bad one. It's a movement that went from less than a dozen scared, uneducated fellows in a tiny place to tens and thousands of committed believers carrying the message around the world in just a short time. You can see, though, how unsure and hesitant those 11 were in verse 17. I think it's amazing that Matthew wrote this verse for us. It says, "When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted." Here he is, Jesus, risen from the dead, standing right there. But some of them still doubt, still lack confidence, are still not ready to jump in with both feet. We got a taste of that doubt when we looked at one of them, Thomas, a few weeks ago at the end of John's Gospel. Dealing with doubt is just one reason why initiation into the Christian faith is initiation into a community. A pin is a sign that you are joining a nursing profession that goes all the way back to Florence Nightingale. Baptism is the sign that you are joining a community of people going clear back to those 11 apostles. entering into a community means there will be people around you to help you and guide you when doubts arise. The word for doubt in verse 17 also means hesitation. Some of those first disciples worshiped Jesus immediately and without reservation. But some of them were more hesitant about it, not quite sure if they had it right, maybe not quite clear in their minds that Jesus really was God and should be worshiped. That's why God made us to be in community. We can reinforce and encourage one another. A new nurse or a new teacher or a new barista at the coffee shop looks to those around him or her for direction, for support. Am I reading this chart correctly? How do I handle this student? What's the right way to make this mocha? As we hesitate, as we are unsure, a community around us lends us the help we need to go forward. And so Jesus did not just call individuals to come and have a personal relationship with him. He called us and commanded us to be baptized into a community of mutual support and care. We've all got our doubts. And so every Christian needs that community of brothers and sisters in the faith. The ultimate answer to our doubts is, of course, Jesus himself. That's what he says first in verse 18 to those worshiping but still not quite sure disciples. He confirms that he is, in fact, God, that worshiping him is totally appropriate. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's God authority. Authority everywhere and over everything in this universe. It is right to worship Jesus because he has the same authority God has. He is God, is what he's telling them. That's why the Christian church, slowly but surely, over the next couple of centuries, became absolutely clear about what they started to call the Trinity. Those three persons who are named in verse 19, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they first learned that Jesus the Son, somebody different from God the Father, was nonetheless God, and they worshiped him as God, like they did here. They saw that God then is at least two persons, but then when the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, just like we celebrated last Sunday, they began to understand that there is another person who is also God and deserves our worship. So those first couple generations of Christians remembered what Jesus had said in verse 19, naming Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in baptism. And they thought about how they worshiped and prayed to and experienced God as their heavenly Father, and also as Jesus who died for them, and finally as the Spirit who lived in and among them. And they drew what might be, seem to us, the obvious conclusion that all three are different and yet somehow the same God. And what we call the doctrine of the Trinity was born. This morning, I'd like us to look at a little closer at the implications of the fact that we continue to do what Jesus commanded in verse 19. Christians go all over the world. We prayed for missionaries this morning to all nations, making disciples of Jesus and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. First, let's talk about what it means to make disciples. It's the word, disciple is the word we get discipline from. So part of being a disciple is simply learning to obey. That's what Jesus says in the next verse, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. But the disciples of a rabbi, and that's what Jesus was here on earth, a Jewish rabbi, disciples follow their master. They learn to do what he says. Talk to Isaiah, and you'll hear that the last part of his nurse training was practicum. And that means following, shadowing, as they say, someone who is already a nurse, watching what they do, and then hands-on learning to do it himself. Take those vital signs, read those doctor orders, change those dressings. The nurse in training observes his trainer and then practices what he observes. That happens in many professions. Teachers are first student teachers. Plumbers start as apprentices. Pastors do an internship. Fast food and grocery stores have trainees at the counter watching and then practicing what they've learned. That's what Christians believe about what we are doing. We observe what Jesus did and learn to put it into practice ourselves. As our proposed new mission statement says, we want to be apprentices of Jesus. The beginning of all that, of discipleship, of apprenticeship, whatever you want to call it, learning to be like Jesus, the beginning is baptism. We learn to follow Jesus best in a community, and so we begin by getting baptized into that community in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And there's the wonderful thing. Because we are baptized in that threefold name, we are not just baptized into a human community, we are baptized into a divine community, into God's own community. There have been a couple different perspectives on the Trinity in Christian history. It's more or less divided between the church in the West, that's us, and the church in the East, that's the Eastern Orthodox, Russian, Greek, Serbian, whatever. What we all agree about, 100%, is what the apostles in Nicene Creed say, what the Church Council of Chalcedon settled in 451 AD. There are three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the West, though, we emphasize the oneness of God. We don't want anyone to think we have three gods. We're not polytheists worshiping multiple deities. And so we emphasize God's unity. He has one will, one heart, one mind. We want to affirm the same thing that Jewish and Muslim believers affirm, that there's just one God. They are right about that. We affirm the same thing. It's totally correct. The East, on the other hand, has been fascinated with the amazing fact that while we have one God, that God is also three persons. Three distinct individuals who all work together to save us and bless us. The Father created us and sent His Son to save us. The Son came and died for us and rose again to give us eternal life. The Holy Spirit is here with us right now, living in us, helping us, guiding us, uniting us. And the East has understood that those three persons are not only the way that God relates to us, they are the way God relates to God. God doesn't just want us to be a community. God is a community from eternity. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. It doesn't mean that God's some abstract feeling of affection that we call love. No, it means that within God, in the very being of God, is a relationship of love between three persons that's been happening forever and ever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have loved each other and been in community since the beginning. That's why we read in Genesis 1:26 this morning that God said, "Let us make humankind in our image." That's the community of the Trinity speaking, saying that they are going to make human beings like that, to live together in community like they do. As verse 27 of Genesis 1 implies, it's one reason that we're made male and female. We were given the opportunity to discover how to be a community across differences that were built into us. Okay, haul it all back to baptism now. When you trust Jesus Christ to save you, to forgive your sins, and to give you a new start on life, when you commit yourself to following Jesus, to being His apprentice, your baptism is in the name of God's community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's your entrance also into God's wider community of human beings gathered together in His church. Baptism is the initiation, the entrance, the pinning ceremony, which brings you into a community to which you'll belong forever. As I said to the children, not all of us get to buy the family pack, the big size, at the grocery store. One or two people alone may feel left out or disadvantaged when they see people together in families or clubs or other groups. Like me, growing up, you may know what it's like to feel odd and different from other students at school or from people at work. I just read about an American painting by Edward Hopper called Nighthawks. It's in the Chicago Art Institute and shows people in a nearly empty city diner late at night. There's a clerk behind the counter, a couple sitting together, and one man sitting completely alone, far from the other three. Many people have felt that that painting, that image, portrays how isolated we can feel, especially in the modern world. I went to the dentist last week and felt something like that. The person at the desk seemed to be having a bad day. She barely said anything and handed me a form to fill out. Then the hygienist came and got me and asked if I had any problems with my teeth. When I said no, she just worked away, cleaning my teeth for half an hour, saying nothing except, "Please turn your head a little more," for a whole time. With her tools in my mouth, I obviously couldn't say anything. Now, I'm a solid introvert. I like to be alone. But even I felt lonely in that quiet, unfriendly dentist's office. But God did not mean us to live like that, like nighthawks or lonely patients in an office. God is a community, and He made us for community, to be in relationship with Him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to be in relationship with each other. That's why we are baptized in His name, to welcome us into God's community. God's family starts with the Trinity and then reaches out to include the church. People often say that when you're married, you don't just marry the other person. You marry that other person's family too, for better or for worse. That's what you're doing, Mariah. When you get baptized, when you become a Christian, you don't just enter into a relationship with Jesus. You enter into a relationship with His people. It's an initiation into a community. Becoming a Christian, let me talk about that for a minute. Becoming a Christian is so easy, you can do it in seconds. It's so challenging that it will take the rest of your life to learn and discover what it's all about. If you've not yet taken the first step, or maybe have not yet been baptized, then I invite you to do that. I'd love the opportunity to talk about it more with you and to help welcome you into this community. It starts with recognizing you need Jesus. It means admitting that you've failed to get life right on your own and you need forgiveness. It means believing Jesus died on the cross and rose again so you can be forgiven, so you can have a brand new beginning, a brand new life with Him. It also means you are ready to make a long-term commitment to live that new life, to walk with Jesus and learn how to be His disciple, to observe and obey all the things He's commanded. If you never have and would like to do that, just bow your head and ask God's forgiveness and ask Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, now and always. If you were baptized as an infant and just are now making that commitment to Jesus, then you're completing what God started in your baptism. And we'd love to celebrate with that with you if that's happened. Let us know. If you've not yet been baptized and you've just committed yourself to Jesus, we'd love to arrange an opportunity for you to receive baptism. After the service, in a few minutes, we're going to vote to receive 5 new members into official membership in this community today. We would be really happy to receive you also into this community sometime soon. I'm saying all this because we do not want you to be alone in this world. God does not want you to be alone. He wants to welcome you into His community, into the family of those who know Him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who enjoy that blessed and happy company all the time. As I welcome you to be part of God's community, of this church community, I need to admit and say plainly that we are not perfect. Like any family, we have our bad moments. And sometimes you might wish you weren't part of this community. But I can promise that no matter how alone you may feel in this world, regardless of your background, where you're from, or how many mistakes you've made, you are still part of us. Still part of a community that God has planned from the very beginning of time. That's why Matthew ends his gospel with beautiful, assuring words from Jesus there at the end of verse 20. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. When you trust in Jesus, even when you have doubts, you are not alone. He is there with you. He's there because God the Father and God the Son have sent you the Holy Spirit. That third person of the Trinity is always beside you. And you are not alone because the Holy Spirit also gathers every Christian, gathers you into a church community, into fellowship and family and love. We want you and anyone else who wants to belong to Jesus' family to be part of that community. Amen.